I hope you're hungry. That is, hungry for the Word of God. We got some fruit out there because in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So we have the fruit of the Spirit. And so I thought I'd put a picture of some fruit out there. The last couple of days I've been with the Integrated Fellowship as we've been in Stockport for their retreat. And I've been enjoying my time with the young people. And I hope they have enjoyed and have been blessed by the messages. But one of the messages, number 5 actually, in a total of 6 messages, I was asked to bring here. So we trust that this will also be a blessing not only to the Integrated Fellowship, but to all of you as you are here. And I have asked the question, how great is your love? So how great is your love? The Lord Jesus Christ said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So it's well for us to remember that without the Lord, we can do absolutely nothing. The theme for the Integrated Fellowship Retreat is not I, but Christ. And it's good for us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, for without him, ye can do nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ also said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we are to love one another as I have loved you, he says. There is a hymn that tells us of the love of God. It's a hymn that you may be familiar with. It goes like this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' song. And then the other stanza, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And then that chorus again, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Wonderful hymn. Telling off the love of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 and repeated those words in verse 16, God is love. Now, I see a problem here because we hear a lot of people talking about the love of God. And they talk about it as if love is God's only attribute. But that is not the case. Note the following Bible verses. Psalm 5 and verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Now that is God. He hates all workers of iniquity. And Psalm 7 and verse 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. This is the God who says that he is love, but he is angry with the wicked every day. And then, in addition to the two verses that I've mentioned in the Old Testament, two verses in the New Testament. First of all, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So something to be concerned about. And then in Hebrews 12, 29, for our God is a consuming fire. So it is well for us to keep these things in mind. Yes, God is love, but God is also a just God. As a matter of fact, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the secondary standard of our church, is of course the Westminster Confession of Faith. But the Shorter Catechism asking question 4, what is God? And the answer is, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Notice that love is not even mentioned there. It comes under the goodness of God. And it points out that God is a just God, the justice of God. So we need to know that. Yes, God is love, but there are other attributes of God as well. Now it's interesting when you think about it, there's a legend. You know that a legend is something that is not true. But there is a legend about the Apostle John, the last one of the apostles to die. And people would ask him, John, tell us about the Savior. Tell us about Jesus. And this was especially asked when he was getting towards the end of his lifetime. And according to this legend, John would answer, little children, love one another. And they would say, but tell us about the Savior. Tell us about Jesus. Little children, love one another. Why do you keep saying that, John? And according to the legend, John claimed that Jesus had said that as long as we love one another, everything else would be all right. Now, of course, we do not base our beliefs on legends. We base our beliefs on the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. And you do not go to heaven because you love one another. You go to heaven because you confess your sins to God and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So very well to consider that. So while loving one another does not save it, love is very important in the life of a Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the verses that we have read, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then, as I referred already to Galatians 5, 22, 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Greek word for charity here can also be translated as love. So now aboveth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now the title of my message is, How Great is Your Love? So far, I've basically been talking about God's love and not so much about our love. And so we want to note that, our love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Sounds pretty much the same, isn't it, as our scripture reading in Mark chapter 12? But this is what we read way back there in the Old Testament, and also in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So Leviticus 19, verse 18. So we see there that we are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So talking then, first of all, about our love for God, I call that an upward love. Upward love. We love Him because He first loved us. In 1 John 4:19, He first loved us. And then Mark 12:30, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And we might ask, what does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It means that we must love God with our whole being. He is to be regarded as the supreme object of our affection and our devotion. He demands first place in our hearts. And we'll see more of that as we go on. But He has first place in our heart. And we might again say, how then can we show our love towards God? And I want to mention a few areas here. The list is by no means exhaustive, but it is representative. So this should give us some idea as to how we should show upward our love towards God. And the first thing is, we should worship Him faithfully every week. Well, that's what you're doing today. You are here to worship Him. And that is the way it should be. But I would like to ask a few other questions. Do you dress up to go to church, or do you dress down? All right. Do you dress up, or do you dress down? Well, as a pastor, I always had to dress up. But when I was a boy, I grew up, and we had our Sunday best clothes. And if I didn't wear my best clothes on Sunday as a boy, my mom would get after me. And I might even feel it on the place where I sit down. I would be punished if I didn't dress up properly to go to church. How would you dress if you were invited to Parliament? Think about that. You would dress up. I know you would. And so, my question, how then should you dress when you go to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Be on time. I'll never forget when I first went to Singapore back in 1970. I used to worship the Lord of Life Church, Gilstead Road. And there was one man who every Sunday, without exception, came in late. And he marched up the center aisle. Everybody could see him. You know, you think after once or twice, he would show up on time. But no. I never learned the man's name. I have no idea who he is, where he is today, or if he is even alive today. But every week, without exception, he came late to church. Well, my feeling is you know what time church starts. I realize if you have young children, you know, you have to change dirty nappy at the last moment. That can happen. I realize that. But week after week, we should be on time in church. And I've also noticed sometimes the offering will be after the sermon. You know, but the worship leader will say, let us now worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And some people, oh, do I have any money? Like they don't know that there is going to be an offering. You know there's going to be an offering. So come prepared. And that's why I say, you know, worship him faithfully every week. But come prepared to worship him. Dress appropriately to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Be on time to worship him. If you were invited for Parliament, again, you'd be there on time. After all, you've got to meet, you know, these key people. I remember one time attending a function here in Adelaide, and Lynn Arnold was then the premier, and he was attending there. And nobody wanted to sit next to him, so I ended up sitting next to him and talking to him. Ayala, gotta talk to the premier of the state. He's just a man, like you and I. Of course, he's become a clergyman, interestingly. But not in the Bible Presbyterian Church. I know that also. But you know, we need to be aware of that. So if we want to worship God, and we really show our love towards God, worship him faithfully. Come prepared to worship him. And then, in our upward love for us towards God, read your Bible every day. Memorize Bible verses. It's good that before the worship service that you have the memorization of Bible verses. You know, when I was a student, we had to memorize Bible verses. And I remember for one course, I told share this with the young people at the retreat, but we had to memorize for one course 200 Bible verses in 1 year. That's a lot of Bible verses. But it's a good exercise. It's good discipline to memorize the Word of God. You know, I'm not saying you have to memorize the whole Bible. We did know a lady in the U.S. who had memorized the whole book of Proverbs. And whenever we went to visit them, she was basically blind. But the husband would say to her, Maureen, today is the whatever day of the month it was. What is today? The 30th, is it? He'd say, today is the 30th. Recite Proverbs chapter 30. And she'd say, chapter 30. And then she would start with verse 1. And we'd all have our Bibles open, and we would follow her. And she would recite the whole chapter. And we did that a number of times. So it was different chapters that she would recite. So it was interesting. I'm not saying you have to memorize the whole Bible or the whole book of Proverbs, but memorize the Word of God. So, for that matter, have you ever read the whole Bible? Now, a lot of Christians have never read the whole Bible. Something you should set yourself. We're getting towards the end of the year. I know Christmas decorations are already up. The shops are already gearing for Christmas sales. I think that's too early, personally. But they want to make their money. So they start early. And a lot of people complain, but they don't care. They'll just try to sell more. But you know, make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, and you will read through the Bible in a year. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, this is the simplest way to do it. 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. But I wonder, how many of you have really ever read through the whole Bible, beginning with Genesis 1:1 and ending with Revelation? It's a good exercise to do. By the way, talking about reading the Bible, do you bring your Bible to church? Some churches, if you walk in with a Bible, say, what's wrong with you? Why do you carry a Bible to church? Hey, I go there to worship God, to read His Word, to listen to a sermon about His Word. I want to have my Bible so I can turn to the passages. So bring your Bible to church. So read your Bible. Memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. You know, hide God's word in your heart. Bring your Bible to church. And then pray every day. You know, we used to have a Sunday school anthem. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And how true. Pray every day. Pray in personal, private prayer. Pray before meals. Pray weekly in the church prayer meeting. But pray. So we are to pray. And then another thing that you can show your love towards God is witness regularly for the Lord. Witness with your words and witness with your life. We have to witness for the Savior. And then obey the Lord at all times. Obeying God is the best prescription for spiritual health. Remember the words in 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obey God. So here are just five simple things. That's why I say this list is not exhaustive, but it is representative. So worship Him faithfully every week. Read your Bible every day. Memorize Bible verses. Pray every day. Witness regularly for the Lord. And obey the Lord at all times. This is how you can show your upward love, your love towards God. But in addition to there being an upward love, there's also to be an outward love. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Mark 12, as we have read before. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity, have fervent love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. So an outward love. Outward love can be towards believers, and it can be towards unbelievers. But first, an outward love that we show towards believers. Pray for them. We should pray one for another. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your elders, your deacons. Pray for others in the church. Pray for colleagues at work. Pray for fellow classmates, for those of you who are studying. Pray for those who are sick. There's so many people that we should pray for. So pray for them. That's certainly, again, this list is not exhaustive, but representative. So not only are we to pray for them, but we are to help them if you are able. If you know somebody is sick, you can provide a meal for them. I can remember when my mom passed away, my dad was left alone, and my dad was no cook. And people from the church brought him food, and he was very appreciative. He was at that time attending a Baptist church, but none of the people in the Baptist church did anything for him. But the people in the Methodist church, which was actually closer to his house, they helped him. So he left the Baptist church and went to the Methodist church. It was not a fundamental church. But these were the people that helped him in his time of need. You know, and we need to help one another. So if you're able to help them, do so. So, if you know somebody is sick, well, maybe do grocery shopping for them, visit them, cook for them. There's many little things that you can do. You can visit them also. So if they're sick or discouraged, you can visit them. You can encourage them. And then you can pray with them while you are there. All things that we can do in showing our love towards fellow believers. I can remember as a pastor, I would be told, so-and-so is in the hospital, can you go and visit? And I would say, yes, I'll go and visit. And I would go to the hospital, and in many cases, the room was full of visitors, all from the church. So they had beaten me to it. They got there before I did. But they were doing exactly what the words of our Lord said. The outward love by visiting one another. In most cases, it would be somebody from the same fellowship group that had gone to visit. But they were there visiting. So if they're sick, if they're discouraged, they need help, visit them. Encourage them. Encourage them by, you can even write just a short little note to them. There are many greeting cards. Greeting cards these days are getting expensive. You know, $5, $6 for many cards. But you can still buy $1 or $2 cards. Problem is the postage is as much as the card. So if they have access to email and they're well enough to read the email, not that they're so sick they can't read the email, you know, you can send them an email card. All right, you can do that also. These cards are available, and you probably know that better than I do. I am before computer generation. I've learned how to use a computer, as you can see from the PowerPoint presentation. But I'm very limited. I can put a simple presentation together, but nothing fancy. You all are much better at computers than I am. So, but anyway, you can encourage them. And you can fellowship with them. Invite them to your home for a meal. Or invite them, if you don't want to have a meal, invite them for coffee or tea. And if you can't invite them to your home, invite them for a meal and go together to a restaurant and have fellowship there. And don't say we're in a restaurant so we won't pray before we eat. Restaurant, you can still pray before you eat. Have you ever noticed how few people in restaurants pray before they eat? Next time you go and eat out, watch. Do people pray before they eat? You should. Give a good example. I've had people come to us and say, it was so nice to see somebody praying before you eat. Especially when the children were young and they were reasonably well behaved, you know. And I've seen families with children and have spoken to them. It was so good to see you praying before you ate. All things whereby we can show our outward love towards believers. But then also, what about the outward love that we are to show towards unbelievers? Because that also happens. So the outward love towards unbelievers. The first thing I would suggest is to pray for their salvation. All right? And they may have other needs that you want to pray for if you're aware of them. But pray for their salvation. You can give them gospel tracts. He has a few gospel tracts. You know, you can see different titles. But there's always tracts available. If you can't find any, ask one of the elders. Ask the pastor. Tell them, order some tracts so I can give them out. It's a good thing. Carry tracts with you and give them out. You can also, of course, witness to them. That seems like one of the first things that we certainly ought to consider, to witness to them. And then you can invite them to special church activities. You can invite them to, say, a special Christmas program or a special musical night that you are having. Whatever activity it is, you can invite them. And this is often a good way to do it. The Sri Lankan Christian Fellowship. Of course, we have some Sri Lankans in the congregation, and Brother Winston started the Sri Lankan Christian Fellowship many years ago now. And they meet first Saturday of the month, and they use the Burnside Uniting Church, 7:30, unless they announce a different time. But the first Saturday in December is always their Christmas program. And we have already invited somebody to go there. And she's been there before. Something for you, if you want to invite people, it's the Carol Night at the Sri Lankan Christian Fellowship. First Saturday in December, 7:30, unless they change the time to 7 o'clock. All right. But these are things we can do. You have a concert. You have a special speaker, maybe. Invite people to come. You know, we got a special speaker coming all the way from wherever he is from, Melbourne, next week. All right? Reverend Matthews Abraham coming. Invite him. Hey, we got an Indian coming. He's from Kerala. Are you from India? Recently at the bank, I was talking to the teller, and she's from India, but she's from North India. So now how do you say thank you in your dialect, in your language? Namaste. Okay, thank you. So the next time I see her at the bank, when she's finished with the transaction, I'll say namaste to her. And she'll say, you remember. I said, I try. But you can do these little things by witnessing to them, by inviting them to special church activities, or for that matter, invite them to your home, or you can go and visit them. There are so many things that we can do when we see unbelievers. So we have an upward love towards God, we have an outward love towards believers, outward love towards unbelievers. But then there is also an inward love. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, it says you are to love yourself also. In Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, so ought man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And in Proverbs 19, verse 8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. A wise man always loves his own soul and prepares for the future. And so we have an inward love. Two areas of that. Inward love for spiritual needs, first of all. And as we talk about the inward love for our spiritual needs, I say plan for the future. What do I mean by plan for the future? Make sure you are saved. About a week ago, my wife and I attended a funeral for a Dutch lady. She was 60 years old. Now, to some of you, 60 seems very old. To some of us, 60 seems very young. It was a long time ago that I was 60. I remember when I turned 50, Hope Church gave me a surprise birthday party. I'm not sure how many of the hopefuls remember that, but I remember that. And I didn't know anything about it. But when we got close to the house where we were invited for dinner, I said, how come I see so many cars from our church members? And my wife came up with an excuse. She knew about it, but I didn't. 50th birthday, a long time ago. But you know, this lady was 60, cancer, and the Lord took her home. She was a believer. So, I'm very sad when you see that. So, a couple days afterwards, we went to visit her mother. Her mother's still living. She's in her 80s. But sad for a mother to have to bury her own daughter. But it does happen. And that's why I say, plan for the future. Make sure you are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confess your sins to God. You know, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save them that were lost. He came to this earth. He died on the cross as our substitute. We deserve to die because of our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ took our sins upon Him. He died in our place. He died as our substitute. But thank God. If you go to Jerusalem today, you can go to the garden tomb. And if you go to the garden tomb, you will find it is empty. The tomb is empty because Christ is risen from the dead. Our God is alive. I remember visiting a Sikh family many years ago, and they had on the wall some pictures. And I figured they were probably the founders of their Sikh religion. So I asked, who are these people? And they confirmed, oh, they're the founders of our religion. Where are they today? Oh, well, they've died and they've been buried. And then we're able to go on and say, but you know, our God is alive. Because Jesus rose again from the dead. I've seen bumper stickers on the car. My God is alive. Sorry about yours. My God is alive. How do I know He lives? He lives within my heart. He's alive. So thank God. That's why I say, when it comes to your own spiritual needs, make sure that you are saved. That when the Lord takes you, that you go to be with Him. I mentioned to the young people when we were over at the Stockport at the retreat site. You know, if you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. There's only two possibilities. There is no third possibility. It's either heaven or hell. So plan for the future. Make sure that you know you're going to heaven. Hell is a place of everlasting fire. Fire and brimstone. Brimstone is sulfur. It burns. You know, I don't want to see anybody going there. Come to Christ. So when we talk about inward love, make sure that you are really saved. And then make sure that as a Christian, you have regular quiet time. Read your Bible every day. Memorize Bible verses. Pray every day. Now I know I'm repeating some of the things I said earlier. But as we love ourselves, when we love God, yes, we read our Bible. We memorize Bible verses. We pray. But when we love ourselves, we are to do these same things. We are to worship the Lord regularly too. Because we want to be close to the Lord, so we worship Him. We witness for the Lord. We fellowship with other believers. All these as our inward love for our spiritual needs. So there's many things there that we can do and should do. But there's also an inward love for our physical needs. And I briefly want to turn to that as well. Some of you may be familiar with the Latin phrase, mens sana in corpore sano. A sound mind in a sound body. Or a healthy mind in a healthy body. You know, and that is well to consider too. So, what does that mean for you and me? First of all, look after your health. Now, we've already talked about your spiritual health, but now look also after your physical health. Eat proper meals. You know. Remember, if you're not in good health, you cannot serve the Lord. So, eat proper meals, exercise regularly. You know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. But in comparison with spiritual things, it is only a little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. But we need exercise. But in comparison to eternal life, physical exercise only profits a little. But we do need to keep our bodies in good shape. Oh yes, eat proper meals, exercise regularly, and get enough sleep. You know, in Singapore, the custom is for the last night of a Bible camp to stay up all night. That's a bad practice. We need our sleep. You need your rest. Get enough sleep. There was one time when I was in Perth pastoring there, you know, Covenant BP Church. No, actually it was a BPCWA in those days. And at 3 a.m., I got a text message. It woke me up because I keep my phone next to the bed because pastors are on 24-hour call. When I get a message at that time of the night, the first thought is, who had an accident? What do I need to go to? When Adelaide called out, 2 a.m., Flinders, 3 a.m., as a pastor, you get a call, you go. So I got a text message, 3 a.m. I said, this must be something desperate. One of the young people asked me, can you speak to our young people's group 3 months from now? That was quite unnecessary. He should have been asleep, not waking me up in the middle of the night. So be considerate when you send text messages. All right? And I do keep my phone on 24 hours still, out of habit. And mine is right now in the red. I need to recharge it. But there's still enough, I think, juice in there that if somebody sent me a message, I would still get it. But you know, we need to consider all these things. We love ourselves. We need to. This is the only body you have. You can't get a second one. I know we want to keep our doctors busy, you know. So, but don't give them any unnecessary work. So consider, look after your health. And if it is necessary, do go to the doctor. You need to be physically fit to serve the Lord. Let me come back to the title of my message and ask you, how great is your love? Remember God's love for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed on him? And here are three questions for you to consider. Do you love the Lord your God? Second, do you love your neighbor as yourself? And thirdly, do you love yourself? Not I, but Christ is the theme for the Integrated Fellowship Retreat. You know, when I was a student at Bob Jones University, one of my classmates had a sign in his room that seemed a little bit strange to me. The sign said, "I am third." And it confused me. I said, "What do you mean by I am third?" And he said, "All right, I'll explain to you. All right. Jesus first. Others second, and yourself last." And he said, and if you put Jesus first and others second and yourself last, then you have joy. May God help us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we love our neighbors. And may we love ourselves, all for the glory of God.